Hello, welcome to Inside Independent Publishing. My name is Christopher Locke. I'm the Director of Membership and Member Services for IBPA, and I'm also the host of the show. Okay, so one quick announcement. Just around the corner is IBPA Publishing University. It's in April. We would love for you to come, and it's for independent publishers and author publishers. And during this show, because we love that you listen to this show, we are going to pop in a little promo code. So you have to listen to the whole show. It's for 15% off, 15%. And you'll, again, listen to the whole episode because it's going to be somewhere in the middle of it. Okay, now on to today's podcast. All right, so marketing books can be overwhelming and discouraging. And to make matters more difficult, there are a lot of dependable strategies out there. They're great, and they get a lot of good exposure for your books, but that does not mean that they're going to sell books. So we have Book Launcher's founder, Julie Broad. Join us. See, I want to get your name right, right? Julie Broad, join us on Inside Independent Publishing today and go over some of the best marketing tactics available, and she's going to explain the results publishers can expect from those tactics. Welcome, Julie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so the first thing I want to start off with is the difference between marketing, advertising, and promotion.
Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction because a lot of people do marketing and then wonder why the book is not selling. And marketing can lead to book sales, but marketing is not necessarily going to directly sell books. And so that often kind of throws people for a loop versus, you know, a promotion usually involves discounting a price or bundling or doing something which the intention is to directly drive sales. And then advertising, there's two reasons in my mind to do ads, maybe three, but an ad should sell books or get reviews. And possibly a third is to grow an email list where you then are going to be selling books off that email list. So I'll give it three reasons. Otherwise, exposure to me is not what you're going to do ads for necessarily. But again, you want to be clear in your goals. So I think that's kind of where we want to start, is understanding your goals of each activity and your expected results. Because just because I've said that, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do marketing, because marketing is an important piece of the entire puzzle. So I'll pause there, see if you have questions, because I can talk about this for hours. So I want to make sure we...
Well, yeah, because so what I was going to do is I have like a list of all like kind of the most popular marketing tactics and promotion tactics and advertising and all that. And then I was going to have you then explain, well, which one of those they are, and then also then the results. So the one I wanted to start with is interviews. You know, a lot of people are like, okay, I got to get my author an interview on this show, and then they're going to sell 7 million copies of their book. So can you explain, and if you'd like, you know, you can also split up, you know, a podcast versus a TV show versus like a print article. But what are the results of interviews?
Yeah, and this is great because a lot of authors are doing interviews in various capacities as part of a book promotion plan. So the thing with, especially media, so media is flashy, it looks great, it feels good, and rarely does it actually directly lead to book sales. And it's that word directly that I want people to pay attention to. And you know, I can speak to this from personal perspective as well as from our authors. Myself, when my very first book came out, I did media all across Canada because I'm originally Canadian. And never did I see direct blip in sales after a TV news appearance. However, it led to speaking opportunities where I did sell books at the back of the room or sometimes as part of the speaking engagement proposal. It also led to other opportunities, partnerships, and other situations that led to books. It led to referrals to people from my company where they then bought books before they decided to work with us. For our clients, with the exception of 2020, which did sell a boatload of books directly, but it was a book topic. I don't necessarily know as 2020 as much as it was a nationally hot topic at that very, very moment. And combined with 2020 and a couple other major media, there was a massive, you know, 700, 800, you know, copy blip the next day. But generally speaking, media interviews aren't going to directly lead to sales. Doesn't mean they're not valuable, but, you know, knowing they're not directly. But they do open the door to things that will sell books. And they can be very valuable if an author knows how to leverage them on social media and a newsletter list and repurpose that content. That one appearance can be used in many ways, which over time can lead to selling books. Podcasts are interesting. Podcasts are easy to do as an author. And often the big podcasts aren't necessarily the ones that will do something for an author, but niche, going niche can be very valuable. So a lot of people judge based on the, you know, how many downloads, and it's hard to get really great data on podcasts, but how many downloads. But what actually seems to have better results in terms of book sales and referrals and new opportunities are those very niche podcasts. So if you've got a very specific, like we had a book on tactical lock picking for first responders. So, okay. You know, getting through locked obstacles. The fire responder podcasts and webinars and things like that were all over it. They bought books as part of this. They gave away books. They referred people. But that's such a specific book. And the audience was very specific. Podcasts were small, but it didn't matter because it was like a perfect market message match for that author. So sometimes small podcasts, especially if they've got an active, hungry audience, that can be the perfect thing for all kinds of things. But otherwise, it's a slow burn, right? It's like...
Yeah. And I was going to say about that too. I think that's a very good note for marketing and promotion in general, is that concept of everyone's like, I want to get the New York Times to write an article about my book. And then they always are going, oh, I want to get on, you know, Tonight Show or something. And you're like, okay, like just... You can actually literally sell books and more books by doing other things that aren't as well known, but like you said, are very clearly targeted to an audience that wants your book. So I think that's really important to point out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the sniper versus the bazooka kind of thing, right? Huh? If you go very niche, you know, you're hitting a small market, but you're hitting it right on the bullseye versus, you know, blasting out to everyone. Mm. It's really easy to get lost in the messages out there. And so that's where I think it's worth it. Plus, if you're not a known name, you're going to be spending a lot of time to try to get exposure on these major outlets when, you know, you start at the niche and you can work your way into it, which we've also seen with our authors. You know, they start and it takes a couple of years, but they start with the niche podcasts and, you know, shows. And the next thing you know, they're on documentaries. But, you know, it's not overnight. It's like 2 years of doing those niche shows. And then somebody notices you and goes, hey, you need to be on my documentary.
Yeah, right. And so that also, because we're talking about interviews, I want to ask then, what about like, because it's media too, like let's say someone doesn't interview you, but let's say you as an author or independent publisher, like you write an article about like a topic and then it's about something related to the book, or someone writes an article or does something about your book. Like, is that the same thing? It's just, that's probably not going to lead directly to book sales. Is it kind of media in general?
Yeah, I would, with rare exceptions again, because usually it's not a direct, like buy the book. It's usually, you know, see the author's website, you know, that kind of thing at the bottom. So it's usually going to build platform for the author, which eventually leads to books, but it's not, you know, it's again, it goes in that marketing pot of things that are going to create exposure and awareness, which is really important to eventually drive sales, but it doesn't directly drive sales.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode, and I'm so glad that you suggested it, is that I think people get really disappointed because they do so much work. I'm an author publisher too. It's so much work to get the word out there about your books. And the thing you're always thinking of is sales. You're just like, whenever you're thinking about success, it's like, how many books have I sold? So I want to help clarify these different things because I don't want people to be discouraged to thinking they're not succeeding. You know, it's like you're succeeding, but it's hard. There's no, you can't see the results. It's not tangible, but that doesn't mean that what you're doing isn't successful. But anyway, I wanted to point that out because I felt terrible. I'm like, no one likes my books, but that's not true. Everyone loves my books. Okay. So, all right, let's talk about advertisements. Okay. So first, can you clarify, maybe we may even need to split this up. Like we've got like Amazon, Google, but then like social media. So feel free to like split them up if they're completely different results.
Yeah. And before I do that, I just want to touch on this sales and marketing thing. Yeah. Sales are a good metric of how your marketing is performing, but there's other metrics to look at. So look at your website traffic, look at your newsletter subscriber list, look at your reviews. Mm. So there's lots more metrics. And so a lot of people think sales is the only scorecard and it's just one of many. So that's just one thing I want to point out before we dive into this next piece.
What about like if I post a picture of my book and then on social media and how many likes I get? Does that tell me how many people like me in the world?
that tells you how much dopamine you might be getting in a given day. But truly, I mean, I'm not a huge social media believer because I know the numbers of how many people click through and, you know, how many of those are likely to convert to anything. So, but I mean, it can feel good. There's value in feeling good.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. All right. So advertisements, what are those results?
Yeah. So I think you're right. We probably do want to split this up, you know, and talk about different kinds of ads that you can run, because Amazon ads is something, you know, your goal there when you're running Amazon ads is to sell books. And you want to get conversions. You want to help Amazon, you know your book is going to convert. So they also send you traffic. So that's a very distinct kind of ad. But a lot of other ads, you know, one of the things that we do is every 90 days, we're running a 99-cent ebook sale. So, and then we pay for advertising to that 99-cent ebook sale. And so the advertising, there's so many sites that you can go. But, you know, depending on your genre of book, you can choose different ebook sites and pay for ads to drive traffic to that 99-cent ebook sale at the time. And they usually have lists of their own that they've built that they, you know, these people want the 99 cents in these genres. So, so that's another kind of bucket of advertising. Then there's also things like Goodreads giveaways, where you're not selling books, but you're driving people to, you know, to list their book as, you know, they want to read it on their bookshelf. And then also, you know, that you give away copies of the book in exchange for, you hope, reviews. So there's lots of those kind of ads that you can run, and everyone has a slightly different goal in mind.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting, because I was going to ask you later on about giveaways, and it's interesting you consider a giveaway an advertisement.
I do.
I think that says a lot about then how people should think of it, because I always think of it as just, you know, a way to kind of get people to know about your book, but I think it's actually better for them to think of it as an advertisement. So, okay. So then, yeah. So then some of the things you listed then, like if you did like, let's say like a giveaway, like is that like a direct sales thing? Like if you did like a Goodreads giveaway, or like, what is that, just more exposure then?
We're doing that for the purposes of reviews. And so we're going to measure the results. So for me, I always look at ads as, how am I going to measure the results? If it's, you know, marketing's hard to measure results directly, but ads, you know, to me, you shouldn't run an ad if you can't measure the results directly. So for Goodreads giveaway, you know, if we're giving 300 books away, I would like to see at least 30 reviews off that. It's really rare that you'll see 30 reviews off 300, but you know, that's the kind of thing. So I'm looking at how many reviews are being driven from these activities that we're paying for. Because to me, I mean, I've seen a lot of people pay to promote a post on Facebook or, you know, those kind of things. Like, that doesn't do anything except for get you eyeballs, but there's no way to measure really, like, it doesn't have a direct result versus a Goodreads giveaway or a free book giveaway. You know, that has a direct, hopefully, result on reviews, which reviews ultimately drive sales.
Yeah. So then what about Amazon? That sounds more like a direct sales thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And to me, I mean, there's also going to be hopefully reviews coming off of your Amazon sales, but ultimately the number one goal of running Amazon ads is to get your book sold. So you're really trying to get your targeting down to find that reader who's going to click on your book and then buy it.
Okay. And then what's something like a search engine, like Google, like what would those ads be for?
I mean, we don't typically run a lot of Google or Facebook or anything ads for the primary reason that, you know, your conversion cost is almost always going to be higher than the cost of what you're making on the back end. So, you know, because you're lucky if you can get a conversion for $4 to $6 on Google. And so, and then what are you making for a book most of the time, unless you're selling to your own website, you know, $4 to $6 at best. So I have ads for my own book. I have it set up through Shopify and Lulu, and I run ads through Google to that. And for me, you know, we're converting at 7%, which is a huge conversion rate for, you know, a cold ad, an ad to cold traffic. But still, I'm probably losing $1 or $2 per most books sold. But, you know, for me, it's okay. I'm getting their email address and their contact information, which I don't get from Amazon. So that's where I say you've got to know what you're doing and why, because now I'm connecting and building a relationship with somebody who's bought my book, which I can't do in any other platform. So, there's trade-offs to every choice.
Right. Yeah. Well, so can you then tell me, like, for you, you know, I mean, you have a lot of different people that you serve, like all these different authors. So what has been the most successful in terms of advertisements? Is it Amazon, or where do you run your ads where you're like, wow, those do really well?
Well, honestly, it's different for every book, every author. There isn't a predictable one, but Amazon is the best one for driving sales. For like that direct pay money, get book sales, Amazon is the best. The ebook sales perform well. We just recently had a book, one of our authors in a book bub. But you know, that was interesting because it was $525 for the book bub and 375 copies sold. And it was at 99 cents for that book bub. So, you know, the author is making the money on the other side of the 99 cent deal. But it was still, it was like, well, even if they had paid, that didn't make money. So now you're hoping, okay, that didn't make money. So did it generate enough buzz that the book is going to now be shown to more people? So those are some of the things that you wonder and you'll watch for. But again, those, you don't see the direct one-to-one, but BookBub can be very beneficial at times, but I've seen personally it diminishing, but it doesn't have the same value that it did 5 years ago.
Yeah. And just to clarify in terms of genre, then you all, isn't Book Launchers mostly nonfiction, right?
Yeah, it is nonfiction, but there's so many. I mean, there's memoir, there's business, there's self-help, there's health and fitness. And so, you know, some books do incredibly well, you know, through promotions like through Fussy Librarian, but then others don't. So, and that's for ebook sales. But so everybody's a little different. And then we have certain books that just absolutely crush it through Amazon ads. Mm-hmm. And then others that, you know, they just never seem to find that like rhythm in Amazon ads. So, and it does seem to be genre, but also book and audience related.
Yeah. And that's something I also tell people when they ask about marketing is, you know, try a little bit of everything and whatever works, do that. Just stick with that. Because like you said, there is no like, and if there were, everyone would be selling millions of copies of every book. Yep. There is, you just don't know, you know, you just, you try all, everything. You know, I think sometimes people put all their apples in one basket and then they're like, you know, spending so much money on like whatever, maybe something like Amazon ads. And then they're just banging, you know, they're like, it's not working. And you're like, okay, well, maybe you should stop doing that, you know, and then do something else. Okay. And what another thing I want to ask then is also in terms of advertising, like, is it good that in, is it okay to just advertise the book or is it, does it serve your purpose better if you actually are, your ads like about, there's a discount for the book, like your, you know what I mean? Like it's just letting people know the book exists or you're giving them, you're like saying there's not only does the book exist, you can get it for whatever, 99 cents right now.
If you're paying to advertise outside of somewhere like Amazon, there should be some sort of an incentive to take action now. That can be bonuses. It doesn't have to, depending on the platform and what you can do with that platform. You know, like I said, the Lulu, Shopify, I have bonuses. So buy the book today and you're going to get, you know, this bonus and this bonus, you know, with this. It also incents people to buy it through that platform versus going to Amazon or somewhere else so that I can continue to convert on that sale. So, so there, that's one way, like that it's whatever you got to do something. If you have an ad that just kind of says, go to my website or buy my book and there's nothing else, it's not going to convert. And so you've paid for an ad for not much, purpose, which is kind of why I don't like the Google or the Facebook, you know, promote my post thing, as far as book sales go, because if you're audience building and platform building, that's a different goal. And that's why I said, you got to know what your goal is going into this, because everything that you do, it's not that it did or didn't work. It's that it may not have worked towards your goal.
And then you mentioned, so about social media, then it sounds like social media is not necessarily for sales. It's more exposure, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if you don't already have a strong social media following, you're going to spend a lot of time trying to build a following that's going to actually have any sort of results at all. So, you know, for me, if the following is there, great, leverage it, use it for exposure, use it to get more interviews and speaking opportunities, because, you know, podcasters and event organizers love to see that you've got a following that's going to hear about their event or their show through your social media. So there's value in it. But if you don't have it, I would say build relationships with people who have your audience in their audience and, you know, spend your time out there kind of connecting with people and running things that are going to, you know, have more direct results on your sales versus the hours and hours that go into social media for, like I said, a dopamine hit.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Sure. Okay. So let's then move into promotions. I know you talked a little bit about it, but you mentioned BookBub. So like, where are the places that people would do promotions other than BookBub too?
Well, again, it depends on your genre. For us, we only do kind of paid ads, like promotion, like 99 cent promotion book deals once a quarter. And we usually pay through a variety of different sites. We're always testing new ones. Fussy Librarian is kind of our consistent. It generally produces the best results for most of our nonfiction. But then there's actually a really great list of ebook sites on Kindlepreneur. If anybody's interested, you can probably just search Kindlepreneur ebook sites. And he did a great list of free sites as well as paid book promotion sites. And so sometimes if the five that we're running normally are getting stale, then we'll go there and see what, like there's free Booksy. I don't know them all off the top of my head because we're always rotating and testing. But that's the other thing is to like, kind of like we've said already, is never assume that what worked last time is going to work this time and test. So test new things constantly because something, like I said, BookBub used to work beautifully if you got accepted into a BookBub deal. It was often a guaranteed 1,000 book sale, but now it's definitely not. So you want to be testing and kind of evolving and there's always new sites coming out. So that's kind of the main thing that we do. We've played with BookBub ads a little bit, haven't really got it grooving really well for the books yet. It's kind of something that we dabble in to try to get it figured out, but it's not something that we've had consistent results in. But those are kind of the main things that we do as far as paid promotion. The other thing some of our clients do with their books is they bundle. So they'll bundle their own or they'll bundle with other authors. And they'll, you know, whether it's at an event where they might be, you know, they might say, okay, you buy my book and you get this book free or buy these two books for $25, they'll bundle. And so that's kind of another way to promote and add value to getting that sale today because you're not going to get that bundle anywhere else.
Yeah. And is it normally a bundle with that same author's other books? Or do you sometimes bundle with like other authors that are like the same themes or something?
Both. And I can't always talk about what our authors have done because it's not, they're their own entity. But for myself, I had a book on real estate investing and I had a colleague who had a book on RSP, which is kind of like 401k investing. And he gave me his books. He had a whole bunch of books and he's like, here, if you can do something with these. And I bundled them when I was speaking and sold our books together. And it went way better than just selling one book. Like the one book for 20 versus the two books for 30, the two books for 30 just crushed it. You know, people wanted both books because they were related. So I think that's the big thing is if they're very easily correlated, that can be a great opportunity in many capacities, online or in person.
And I think people love getting a deal. You know, they're like, well, hold on. I can get two for, you know, and it's like the way humans work. Yeah, I agree. If you can, and that's why they always say like one of the best ways to sell your books is to write a new book, you know? So then now you as, you know, or if you're a publisher to keep publishing more books, you know, and then bundle your authors and think about like ways that your author's books connect in some way. I definitely think people should keep that in mind. You know what I want to ask, like, it's always 99 cents. Like what? Why isn't it $1.99? Like why is like look? We're both author publishers. You know, we both have published. It's like 99 cents is such a small. It's like for years of your life and for how much you've spent getting these books published. Why is the norm? You know, like to sell, get people to buy books. Here's for a dollar. How did that happen?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I would like to torture that person who first created that. But, you know, we tested $2.99 and it just doesn't do what 99 cents does. And so, unfortunately, 99 cents is where we continue to go. And a lot of these promotion sites require you to sell your book for 99 cents and for it to be not have been discounted for 30 or 60 or 90 days prior. So, you know, you kind of get pushed into that if you want to go through some of these promotional sites. Me personally, I don't like giving away nonfiction books for free. There isn't a huge series behind them. So we don't do free giveaways. We at least do 99 cents because then there's some sort of a commitment, hopefully to read the book, ultimately hopefully get reviews and referrals and have something good come from it because there really is no benefit to just getting somebody to download your book. So we really want to drive people to that commitment, the people who are going to be more likely to be committed. And there is a difference between somebody who gets it for free and somebody who pays 99 cents. There is a commitment level difference. So there is at least value in doing a 99 cent ebook sale, but you don't do it for money.
Nope. I think you don't publish books for money. That's what I've so far found. Okay. So we mentioned giveaways. So we've got Goodreads. There's also KDP Select. They have giveaways. Yep. But you mentioned like for your nonfiction books, you don't as much love the giveaway thing. But I don't know. Can you just talk a little bit more about giveaways? And you treat them as advertisements. So it seems like you think giveaways do lead to book sales, though, not just like exposure. Or tell me more.
Yeah. So I think, like I said, there's two reasons to do them. One is to drive sales. So the 99 cent, which to me is a giveaway, but it's a sale, but it's a giveaway. Or, you know, if you're giving books away free through, you know, Book Sirens or Goodreads or whatever it is, that is to get reviews. And to me, that still is an advertisement because you're advertising your book in, you know, not to get a sale, but to get a review. That's your goal in doing those things for the most part. It can lead to sales, so there's benefit, but that's, to me, anything that can lead to sales but doesn't directly is marketing. But there are advertising reasons to, like I said, the other reason to run ads could be to download your free ebook, to give them your email address, which then in your email, you then are going to be selling them your book. Those are all reasons to run ads. You can track your metrics for the most part on those. So you're able to see the results of your ad, whether it went to your goal. The challenge for some people is they're running ads for the wrong reasons. Like, and it's kind of like marketing, right? They're thinking marketing is going to directly lead to book sales. If you're running an ad, you want to know whether this goal is, you know, newsletter signups, so you can track that, or your goal is reviews, so you can track that, or your goal is sales, and not confuse them. Because that's where that leads to disappointment. You also can't adjust your strategy. And that's something we haven't touched on yet, which is you want to be tracking things as much as possible so that you can go back and go, what worked? So I can do more of that. What didn't work? So I can stop doing it. And, you know, what kind of worked, but kind of didn't. So maybe I need to go back and look at, you know, is it a metadata problem? Is it an audience issue? You know, what can I adjust so that maybe that thing that kind of worked, but kind of didn't can become something that really works?
Right. Yeah. And I also will mention, we were talking about like giveaways and such. Like I run the IBPA NetGalley program at IBPA. That's yep. another great place to post your book. You give people a free download. But then, like you said, there are expectations. You want reviews. But then also as a publisher, you get all kinds of amazing data to see why did people, because they ask questions when someone downloads a book. Why did they? Was it the description? Was it the cover? So it's yes. really helpful. And Book Launchers does NetGalley a lot too. So clearly, yep. you know, I know that you all must get some great value out of it too.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I'm not the one that does all those things, so sometimes I forget some of all of the programs that we're in. But and we run some of our authors through NetGalley, and you're right. And NetGalley also has the added benefit of editorial reviews. So now we're going to have those reviews that are different than, you know, the Amazon customer review, but editorial reviews are just as valuable because you can put them on your media kits. You put them in that, you know, the Amazon section that goes above, below your book description, but above the customer reviews. So there's lots of value in doing those too. But it also does give you that feedback. And sometimes we've gone back and gone, whoa, like there's a problem that none of the editors flagged with this book.
Yeah. So, it's like in some ways, it's also kind of like beta readers, you know, like these are people that you're going to find out very quickly. If you get 50 thumbs downs on your cover, you're like, oh, we need a new cover. When we were talking about this episode, you mentioned about paid ads for reviews. Is that what this is, or is that something different?
Yeah, paid ads would be NetGalley. Okay. We also do Book Sirens, and there's one other site that just slipped my mind. I had read about it, or I read in my notes this morning, and it slipped my mind. But that's some of those sites. So we pay them to submit it to their audience, and then their audience can say yes, I'll review it, and then they review it. And some of them have a really good setup in that you can only download one book at a time, and you can't get another book until you've written that review on that book. So you can really drive reviews for that. And some of them, you know, we get 4 or 5 reviews from a $20 ad. And they go to Amazon and usually post to Goodreads as well. But then other times the book will go and nobody will pick it up to read. So that's why I say it's very different, you know, depending on which book it is. And there isn't always rhyme or reason. And we've also tested day of the week because we think that has an impact on when the books get read too. So there's lots of things we're testing and playing with. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's, you know, even down to little details like that, you're like, oh, we posted on a Saturday. You did a Saturday. And you're like, I'm just, will people just review this book? Hello, everyone. As promised, I'm revealing the IBPA Publishing University discount code. It's going to give you 15% off registration. Again, that's 1515. Okay, so go to publishinguniversity.org, and during checkout, you're going to put in this promo code, IBPA podcast. It's all one word. It's lowercase. Again, it's IBPA podcast. We can't wait to see you at this year's conference, which is split into two parts. There's the virtual conference that's on April 20th through 21st, and there's the in-person conference on April 29th through 30th in Orlando, Florida. All right, now back to the show. Yeah, so anyway, gosh, there's so much to talk to you about. We're like kind of getting near the end here, but I've got a whole list of like, so maybe quickly I can just mention some of them. What about like in-person events in terms of sales, promotion? Like what do you think about those?
Yeah, it depends. So bookstore signings, thumbs down.
Oh, interesting.
Generally speaking, if you're thinking they're going to move a lot of books, they rarely do. That they can be valuable in getting your book into the bookstore. And then, you know, you send people there, long-term strategy. But, you know, speaking though, if you've got a speaking event or a live event where you can be face-to-face with people, you've got a table, that can sell a lot of books. We've had a lot of clients do conferences, panels, and then they have an opportunity to sell books there. You know, take cases because you often will sell 50 to 7,500, depending on how many people are there. So I love live events. I'm so excited they're coming back again.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's been difficult because, like, I know for me, in-person events, and you're right, like, if I would do an event just me by myself, that was more difficult. I had the best luck when I would go to a conference that was related to the themes of my books, and I was just another booth there. And then people would go by and they're there to interact with the people there, and a lot of times they want to buy stuff, you know? So they walk by your booth and go, oh, I haven't seen, like, just don't see as many books in some of these places. They see your book and go, I love books, and this is about a subject that I love. So I'm a big fan of in-person events too, and I've done very well. So you just, you know, for publishers out there, like, you know, try to help your authors find the conferences, the types of events that really fit their themes of their books. And I really recommend doing them. How have you all done with virtual events then? Like how has that been for your authors?
For selling books? No, it hasn't sold books. There's other reasons to do them. They can lead to speaking engagements in person, but you know, I can't actually, with the exception of that tactical lockpicking book, I actually can't think of a virtual event that I know for a fact drove a decent amount of book sales of any kind.
But so then it's better for then just exposure and to get people knowing that you exist and that your book exists. And maybe I think same thing. It's probably better to have panels maybe than just you by yourself. It's like, you know, or part of a conference, like you're a speaker, like we have IBPA Publishing University. I'm sure it's good for people to come and speak at something like that, where you have a built-in audience that comes rather than you by yourself going, I'm going to do a video and I'm going to post it on, like, I don't know, Facebook Live or something.
Yeah, I think still you're unlikely to sell a ton of books through it. There are exceptions, but it's rare. What you should do or should coach the authors to do is to drive people to grab a download of value to their specific audience so they get the email, then they can email them and convert to book sales that way. Because if you've got a whole bunch of speakers at an event, and I find virtual people aren't paying as close of attention. They're not as engaged as they are in person. And you're not usually allowed to say, here's the link to go buy my book when you do those kind of speaking engagements. But you are often allowed to say, you know, at my website, you can download this great resource to cover what I just talked about. And then now you've got the opportunity to sell books down the line. So it's a great platform building opportunity, virtual events. And so there's still value in doing them. But, you know, I wouldn't try to sell the book off that appearance.
Yeah. Well, tell me that term again. You said download of value.
Yeah. So, I mean, people call it a reader magnet, a lead magnet, all kinds. But, you know, to me, it's something I usually offer, something that I've talked about that's of value. So, you know, you can go to this website, download this thing of value, and now we're connected. Like, that's kind of the way to do it.
Okay. Thank you. So, like I said, we're running low on time, but I want to talk about, I want you to tell us about book launchers. I think you all are great. I know Sarah through a writer's group. She's great. Yep. So, tell us about book launchers, how people can learn more about you.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, I'll do what I just suggested people do. So you can get a great download on how to sell books, which is at booklaunchers.com/game plan, which is your game plan to sell 1,000 books for under $100. And so that's just a great example, too, of just driving people to somewhere to download something. Now you get my email. But Book Launchers, we help nonfiction authors write, publish, and promote nonfiction books. They keep all rights. They keep all royalties. We're really service. We kind of look like a publisher, but we're not. Our authors retain all rights and royalties. And I have a phenomenal team. So Sarah is our book marketing manager. She's awesome. And yeah, that's what we do. And that's where you can go to learn more.
Well, and also what I like is we get a lot of members who they feel lost. There's so much to learn about publishing. I'm an author publisher too, and I was so overwhelmed. And the problem is you don't know what you don't know. And I look back and I made a lot of mistakes and I'm like, oh, if I had only known. But it's okay, because yeah. You know, there are places like Books Gone Lectures. This is great because you all really help shepherd people through the process. And if you're overwhelmed, then you all give people an opportunity to like, you have the knowledge, and rather than going through like you saying, like a publisher versus like a service provider, like a publisher, you still have to like, they have to accept you or whatever, but like, you know, you all have all the know-how, but then, you know, they you're a service, so then people can pay you the money for your knowledge and then they can still get their book published. So so anyway, I like Book Launchers, and congrats. I mean, you founded the company, so congrats on all your
thank
success.
Thank you.
Okay, so, well, this is just, there's so much, you know, to talk about still. I mean, marketing is one of those, it's just, there's so much. But I hope that this was helpful, because I know even listening to you, I learned some, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is the difference between all of them, and then understanding like, oh, okay, that's why that didn't sell, because that wasn't the intent of that type of thing. So thank you for helping to clarify that. IBPA does have a lot of helpful marketing programs. So make sure to go to our website, ibpa-online.org, and we have a store. So check those out. And each one has different types of ones: the library market, how to get into bookstores. We have the NetGalley program. And also, don't forget, publishinguniversity.org. I know you're not going yourself, Julie, but you have some of your team going, so I can't wait to see them there. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And every Thursday, we drop a new episode. So this one will be the day that you download it, but there's another one then the next Thursday, Thursday of the month. And Julie, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I mean, we love IBPA. And if you guys see Book Launchers, please say hello to Sarah at IBPA University. But we're really excited to be there and to be doing things with you guys. It's fun.
Yeah. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. You're clearly, someone that you just know a lot about all how this works. And it's something that people feel confused about. So thank you for helping to clarify everything. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And make sure to listen again next month. Have a great day.